It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
The moment you've all been waiting for all night is finally here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our next bachelor, Peter.
Welcome to another week of Game of Roses. This is Bachelor Clues. Here with me this week, Lizzie Pace is gone. She's out traveling the world, seeing big things, broadening her horizons, having fun. I don't even know if she watched this show, but we wish her well.
Ridiculous.
Wherever she is tonight, whatever she's doing, she was free from the chains of Lord Harrison, free from his dark plans, but not us. Mm-hmm. I'm here tonight with...
Hello, I'm Catherine. I am Lizzie's stand-in. I've been Lizzie's stand-in for 15 years. Anything she can't go to, I come in. Dentist appointments, mechanic appointments. So yeah, I'm here, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Very happy to have you. Obviously, a lot happened tonight. This was the final game of the season,
yes,
as well as the wrap-up, mm-hmm. and a taste of what's to come next season, mm-hmm. which we'll get to a little later. But this week, we opened, as we always open these shows, with a series of audience shots. Mm-hmm. Crazy people clapping into the night, praising yes. Lord Harrison at his own behest, showing us all that it's okay to be happy about what we're about to see. It's okay to treat this as normal. It's okay to clap.
Mm-hmm. It does help me, though, the audience reactions, because it does make me feel a little bit more like maybe it is okay because everyone else feels like it's okay. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that's how they get you. And that's how they got me.
That's how propaganda works.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh, God. Sexy.
After that, we have a quick series of seeing Katie and Chris agree to begin the sexual ritual. Mm-hmm. Hannah wants to continue her forever with Dylan. Demi and Christian have, Demi says she's finally evolved to who she truly is.
Yes.
Clay and Nicole, something a little different happened. Clay kind of recoils. Mm-hmm. He says, I think we should use tonight to think. And Nicole basically says, if you need space, you go get your space. I'm going to sit here. She starts to lay down the law in that moment, which I thought was a pretty good play.
Yeah. I thought so too. I think, well, if I was in that situation, like I said when we were watching it, is I would just be like, okay, the logical thing is like, oh, sure, yeah, it's been 2 weeks. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yes, let's just keep dating. But you think it's a good play because that it made her seem stronger?
Well, it was kind of foreshadowing for what I thought was a better play from her mm-hmm. moments later. I think she was doing good there because she's starting to build her victim persona.
Oh, yeah.
If it looks like you might be breaking up, if it looks like the relationship you've built over the course of Paradise is about to deteriorate, a very strong move is to start building victimhood because the game certainly rewards that, as we saw from Becca Kufrin mm-hmm. receiving the Bachelorette crown after being one of the most honored victims in the game's history. Mm-hmm. So she's building that persona already, and then it comes to fruition after Clay commits his error mm-hmm. by saying he's just not there yet. She doesn't accept it. She doesn't say we can still keep talking 2 weeks after the show is over. It's fine. We can progress as normal people would in the normal actual world.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
She says, fuck you, we're through. Because she has reached that emotional level. So I thought
you're right.
His was the error of the game for me, and hers was the play of the game when she dumped him. Because it not only played her as the victim, she was using phrases like, he fooled me.
Oh my God, yeah, the fooled.
Anytime you're invoking something bad someone has done to you, you've really solidified that victim role. And then she also says that he ruined the experience, invoking the idea that she is owed a new one from the Bachelor series.
Oh, yes.
And the reason that I thought it was the play of the game is because it was a simple one if you know the rules of the game. Mm-hmm. She saw that he broke one by not returning the I love you phrase at the correct moment. Mm-hmm. And she said, I can punish him for that and walk away clean. As long as you adhere to the rules of the game, you're fine, which she did perfectly, I thought.
Guys, I just want to take this moment to say that this is a huge moment for me in general. I'm a huge fan of this podcast. Honestly, can I be honest? I haven't really seen a lot of The Bachelor.
But you listen to this podcast?
But I listen to this podcast so much because I've tried so much to watch it mm-hmm. in my life. And I've, especially with Becca's season. and because it fascinates me. I'm like, what the fuck is this thing? And I just didn't understand. But every time I'd watch it, I'd be like, but I don't get it because I'm not buying into the baseline thing. Like, I still don't understand how everyone's agreeing to this. And then I listened to this podcast because I'm friends with Lizzie, and I was like, well, listen to her podcast. And I started listening, and I was like, oh, I get it. Because you guys, the way you guys talk about it as if it's a game, which it is, the greatest game, I finally was like, oh, okay, yes, duh, okay. The way you guys, the talking like the MVPs and the plays and there being the ultimate goal of, you know, staying in Bachelor Nation or whatever, Bachelor World, really. So anyway, that's me saying that I am going to try my best to not fuck up this episode of the podcast. And to also, okay. But you're here, Lizzie's gonna be so mad because honestly, here's the thing. You guys are used to like this really fun banter between Lizzie and Chad that like maybe they're gonna disagree. I'm gonna agree with everything Chad says because even if I start out disagreeing with him, he starts talking. Oh, yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right, Chad. He's right.
Okay,
right.
Well, first of all, you can't fuck up the podcast.
Okay.
It's totally fine. No, believe me.
And sorry, your Bachelor clues. I also realized that she doesn't say your name on the podcast.
Okay.
It's Bachelor
clues.
It's
just become a joke between us. But,
I was like, totally fun. He's too secret. Okay, anyway. So let's continue. That was just a disclaimer for the world. Thank you.
Well, no, but I mean, what you bring up is an important point. What we are watching is a game, and I think the hypocrisy of it is what drives me fucking insane because they present it as though it's not a game. The sole purpose of this show is to help people find love, and yet at every turn they undermine the very thing they're supposed to be supporting. And so what is it then that we're watching? Because that's a lie.
Know.
Helping people find love is a lie. It's what we are watching is a group of people who are playing a game that now has, it's going to be 24 seasons of The Bachelor. That is a deep statistical pool. And from those statistics, we can begin to derive meaning in the game. Just as professional football, baseball, basketball, any pro sport, when it first started, especially baseball, because it started a long time ago, there weren't like great stats kept. As stats started becoming more and more accurate, people started analyzing them, and we got things like earned run average, runs batted in, these statistics that became very meaningful in not only how the game is played, but even how teams are structured, how the business of the game evolves. And now we're starting to see the exact same thing with different plays that you can make inside this game to make your Instagram account go up or down, different
the
plays
Instagram's
you can make after the
factor,
thing.
As you've talked about before, as I've learned from you guys, the Instagram's a huge factor, and the introduction of Instagram into the game has changed.
Tonight it was openly discussed.
So yeah.
All of them. Jordan even came out and said
Instagram
this was
DMs,
the first system where first season where Instagram really had an effect on it. He's incorrect. He just thinks that, I think, because he thinks everything is like about the season he's in.
No, of course, because it does revolve around him, the world,
But he's not far off from the truth. It's getting to a point where they are one and the same.
Yeah.
And that's the game, really. The object of the game is to score Instagram followers, to get that number as high as you can.
Yeah.
That is it.
And that, and the, and again, after listening to this podcast and getting this information, it makes me go, okay, now I get it. Now I'm on board.
After Nicole's dumping of Clay, which was my play of the game, Chris and Katie, they had their overnight date. They obeyed Lord Harrison's dark wishes to commit the sexual ceremony.
Absolutely.
Her play of the game from last week, when Chris was about to dump her and she turned it completely around, pays off here. They've now moved into, at least in this point of the game, the kind of final phase. Will he propose or not?
Yeah.
And indeed he does.
Yeah.
With a Neil Lane sparkler. They all have Neil Lane sparklers.
They do, because you know what? It's the best goddamn diamond rings in the world.
Well, I think Neil Lane at this point is somehow personal friends with Chris Harrison. They always share a knowing smile when they see one another. And I was sad, actually, to not see him in tonight's episode. I thought he was going to make an appearance in Paradise. He couldn't be there. But obviously, his sparklers could.
Of course. No, they have to be, because they're the symbol of true love and lasting love. It does get me, though, every time. I'm not a romantic, but goddamn. That huge, very impersonal ring just really gets me every time.
Then we have a conspiracy. Dylan and Hannah fuck. And the next day, when they're standing on a pedestal together, Dylan's taller than Hannah? Is this accurate?
I agree with you that he did seem a lot taller, and I was looking for an apple box.
Or something. Lifts in his shoes?
Yeah, no, I thought he was smaller. Do you actually think, do we think this? Is this, are you putting this out into the world? This is a big responsibility you have.
Look, I'm just saying, this show definitely pumps out the idea of traditional masculinity.
That's true. Well,
and a man must be taller than a woman, even if he's not. So I can see a scenario in which they come out onto that dais there. And the producers are like, wait a minute. Is she taller than him? What the fuck's going on?
But is that
No. Yeah. Put some shit in his shoes right now. We need to put a couple inches on this dude.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. I don't know what their heights are, and I'm sure it's easily verifiable on the internet. One search. I won't do that, though.
No.
What I'll instead do is go so far down that fucking path that it's as if I'm there, as if I'm seeing the moment unfold. The producer's actually putting the little things in his shoes.
Aww.
Get on your tiptoes, Dylan, if you want this Neil Lane sparkler. There's nothing without cost here.
On your tippy toes, boy.
Anyway, I don't know if it's true. Seems like it is.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then Hannah has a strange conversation. What's that?
I don't know if it's true. I'm just saying it's definitely true. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know if it is, but does it matter anymore?
No, nothing matters.
I agree.
Okay, great. Continue.
Certainly truth doesn't. Not in this country. I mean, look, this is a show that just fucking last week manufactured a fucking entire humiliation scene for a person that didn't happen. Expected
Awful.
Us to believe that Connor and Whitney were in two cars fucking narrowly passing each other on a road.
I can't believe I had to see their faces.
So
again.
That stuff is 100% concrete, real.
Mm-hmm.
Those were complete lies. We have evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me they wouldn't put a fucking cotton ball in the heels of this dude's shoes to make him a little taller?
Yeah, you're right. You know what? It's not the tip of the iceberg. It's like very simple. It would be the first thing I do.
Then we have Demi and Christian. We come to our lovely,
I love them so much,
bisexual couple. They have sex. They wake up the next morning. And then Demi, who has been deemed the man of the relationship by Lord Harrison,
we've decided that. Mm-hmm.
She is given the permission to pull out a Neil Lane sparkle and propose to Christian.
Right.
Well, how did that moment strike you?
I loved every second of it. I mean, look, I'm a sucker for lesbians. I will follow them to the ends of the earth. So I really loved it. I mean, I kept waiting for, I truly thought Demi was going to end it. I didn't think that was going to be, but I thought they played it very well. I thought that I was unsure until the moment she was about to propose, if she was going to propose. I thought that was played very well.
Mm-hmm.
It kept me on my toes, kept me in it. I knew. Well, okay. So I brought this up when we were watching and I want, you know, DM me, is all the people who are more desperate, the people who do the speech first, right? The people who are more in love with the other person, because Christian was more in love with Demi, Dylan more in love with Hannah. Christian went first. So it's not by gender or by who's asking, proposing. It's by who is more sad and desperate, says the speech first, and then it's the other person. And then, like, that's so weird though to me, because it's like, do they and the couple know? It's like, well, you love me more, so I guess you're talking first, you know? You're more sure.
I don't know, because also what the document that they present to you, as we now know, and as we've known for some time, is not accurate. It never is.
Yes, that's true.
They can completely make anything up. So it could be played out of order. It could be mixed together.
I guess that's true.
You have no real idea.
You're right. Editing exists. But that's true. I do really like that moment. Oh, also, we didn't mention the moment of Dylan being like, my favorite thing about Hannah is asking your that you have to, I have to ask your dad's permission.
Oh yeah. She asked that of him. She's like, I love you. I want to be your forever future or whatever.
Hated that.
Things they were talking about. I want to be your person. But first, my dad's very important to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, absolutely.
And he was like, that's my favorite thing about you, is that you want me to ask your dad. That's important to you, that you are passed from your dad to me as property. I really loved that moment. That really made me feel warm and fuzzy inside. Anyway, back to my favorite couple. And I know, I thought it was great. What about you? What did you think? What did you think? The Demi and Christian thing. What's your feels?
To touch on the moment you were just speaking of, that's a very important piece of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised that they were able to find a way to shoehorn it into Paradise, because Paradise is the only piece of the Bachelor game itself that doesn't require hometowns to visit the families, to ask for permission.
Yes, I was thinking that. Mm-hmm.
And so they just made reference to it there. Mm-hmm. But it's always a part of the game, roughly at this time, right before the guy and the girl are thinking about proposing or going to a fantasy suite. Usually is when the parents come in. And if it's the Bachelor, he will ask permission from all three women's fathers.
Crazy.
And if it's the Bachelorette, all three men will ask permission from her father.
This show's insane. Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you have more to say on Demi?
No, I truly loved it. I loved that whole thing. I loved the whole kit and caboodle. I thought it was great for the hashtag culture. I think a lot of homophobic people probably watch this show because a lot of America is homophobic and a lot of America watched the show. I don't have statistics to back that up, but that is when I'm going to take that leap. You made the point before, is like, you know, it is baby steps, because it's like both white, both gorgeous, kind of easy to swallow, but you need that easy to swallow. You need that will and grace, you know, like easy mm-hmm. to swallow thing to show two women in love and romantic towards each other. That was goddamn beautiful, and their hair is gorgeous. What about you? What'd you think?
I agree. It was a very important moment for the game. The first such moment that we've seen a same-sex couple.
Do you think it's going to happen more now?
No.
Really?
Do you think there's going to be a black bachelorette again?
No.
One and done.
That's how they do it. No, you're right.
One for all. Look, we're tolerant.
Look,
really?
Look what we did.
Who's the next bachelor? Oh, the whitest fucking guy we could find who lives 5 minutes from the bachelor.
Who lives 5 minutes? That's so funny.
Or as Lord Harrison put it, you literally grew up in the shadows of the bachelor mansion. What the fuck, dude? What the fuck? Could you be more creepy?
Oh my God.
And then Peter even said, when I was in high school, I tried to sneak into the mansion,
which makes me be like, okay, well, people, like, women were sleeping in there and probably did not. Oh God, gross.
But to get into the world by any means necessary has been in his mind since he was in fucking high school.
Oh my God, they love that so much. Of course, they love that because it's a worship of the game. It's a worship of the game from a young age.
But we get ahead of ourselves.
Yes, of course.
So then the three couples meet up and dance around on the beach, and that is the end of the first segment of our show.
Mm-hmm.
That concludes the document of the actual game. From this point on, we are now in the tell-all. And the most interesting thing about the tell-all to me was that they introduced all of the characters. Here's everybody who came back from Paradise. Who's missing, though? Who's not here? It's Luke S.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he here? And now we get into the retribution of the producers. Always a piece of the game that you have to watch out for. Luke S., on his Instagram account, very recently revealed that they completely concocted a moment that never happened on the show. When his rose was rejected by Brie, they cut to a shot of all of the other remaining girls, and you hear Lord Harrison's dark voice say, "Does anybody else want this rose? Anybody? Anybody?" And it's a bunch of shots of the girls just kind of like looking nonplussed. That never happened. He never said that.
Mm-hmm.
They recorded that line after they shot the episode and then cut it over B-roll of these girls to elongate the humiliation.
Genius.
And so Luke S. said that on his Instagram account. Mm-hmm. Put up a picture of the video or a clip of the video and said, "This never happened. They made it up. I'm not supposed to talk about this shit, but this is insane. They're lying, essentially." And as a result, Luke S. is not there on stage. They disinvite him because he has spoken truth to power.
They love controversy things on Twitter when it has nothing to do with them. They love the drama when it's happening, you know, but when it has to do with, you know, Big Brother, when it's directed towards the actual hit behind the scenes of the show or the edits. Yeah, no, absolutely not.
And it's true punishment because the tell-all is kind of your last opportunity as a player to make an impact.
Yeah.
This is your audition to potentially be invited to another paradise.
Yep.
Or if they do other spinoffs, certainly you can do something to get more followers.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't granted that opportunity. We open the tell-all with Derek trying to explain himself regarding the JPJ incident.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan kind of backs him up. No strong play here. It was an opportunity to potentially exonerate himself, but I feel like it was just kind of swept under the carpet. Derek had a moment there that was essentially an at-bat, and he just fucking shit the bed, ground out to first base.
Yeah.
Then Jordan tries to explain himself in the fight. Again, he tried to throw in some catchphrases and assert his dominance. Didn't really work. It fizzled a little bit for me.
Yeah.
It was kind of another missed opportunity, I thought. And then Jordan and Christian try to start a fight on stage.
Yeah.
I applaud them.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
go ahead.
If it would have happened.
It's a callback.
We would have seen that in promos had it happened.
Yep.
And I thought Christian made the play there. He was trying to incite the fight.
Yeah.
Jordan was not going to do it, but it was a good try at least.
Yeah, didn't talk about it before then. Brilliant, genius idea. Get it? Yeah, try it. Should have happened. Wish it happened. I'm a fan of violence.
Then an interesting moment happens in terms of the history of our game. Jordan calls out Stagecoach and its attachment to Instagram. Yep. And he says that this is kind of the first time it's ever, in quotes, happened. Happened to what, Jordan? Happened to the game. He's implicitly acknowledging that there's a set of rules to this game we're all watching,
yep.
that it happens in a normal way, and that this reference of Stagecoach, this level of involvement of people's Instagram accounts and their interactions on Instagram outside the game has heavy influence mm-hmm. over what he considers to now be the main game.
Yeah.
I found that very fucking interesting.
Yeah, 100%.
Then one of my favorite moments, we have Blake in the hot seat. This is his time to shine. I thought he did a decent job, actually, of kind of explaining himself, mm-hmm. his actions. And they dug very deep into him airing her dirty laundry with the text messages and mm-hmm. her lying about him being the aggressor and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had a little bit of a clearer understanding of how that happened. And I don't think he came off as much of a douchebag in the end as he was on the show.
It seemed like he was on the verge. I mean, his facial expressions are insane. It's every time it cut back to him, it seemed like he was twitching.
I would love to go back through the entire season and make a compilation of Blake's faces and really
amazing.
Screw with them.
Yeah.
It's in my head. I see it in my nightmares.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Then we have something interesting here. This is the first time we see it in the reunion. It's a strange kind of behind the scenes piece of footage between Blake and Kaylin. Back behind the risers. It's in the commercial break of this live mm-hmm. event that we're watching, but still a camera crew is on them, where it's meant to give you a sense that this is what's really happening. This mm-hmm. is the real conversation. They acknowledge that the shit you're seeing on stage, just implicitly, again, in the fact that this behind the scenes footage even exists.
Exactly.
What it's saying is that the real show is not real.
Yes, there is.
And we know
that.
There
can only be a behind the scenes if there's not, if there was a fake in front of the scenes.
Exactly. But even that is also fake because as they're having this conversation, there's two fucking camera guys are standing
they're
a foot away
from them. They're not even trying to do that bullshit hidden camera footage thing. They're not even trying. They're just right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all kind of like propaganda creation 101. Mm-hmm. It's what you're trying to convey in any of the shots or editing or any of the tools you're using. What are you trying to get the audience to believe? And in this case, they are seeming to try to get us to believe that this conversation is somehow more important.
Yes, more important, more intimate, and more real.
And it just fails, I thought.
Yeah, I don't think it would, not at all.
But someone must be believing that. And that's the hard time I have with this show. Like, who's watching this and thinking it's fucking real? Who was thinking that Connor and Whitney were in those fucking cars? Someone did.
I know. I mean, a lot of people, probably.
Then they bring out the successful Bachelor in Paradise families.
Oh, yeah.
Jaden, Tanner, Evan, and Carly, and now the Goose and Crystal. And Jade explains going into labor when she makes very clear to say, we were at home watching the season finale of The Bachelorette when my water broke and then I had a fucking closet baby. Why was that even mentioned? Because it's this circle of life idea that they have. That's why they're showing us these children.
They made the comment about the kids being in the Bachelor Paradise. They made already
oh, what?
Made they yeah
they
made,
said that on the fucking show.
They said about the two he made a really Lord Harrison made a really small side comment about like already a bachelor because they were the little kids were fighting over like a teddy bear.
I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Should I point it out?
It's,
no, it's
proof
crazy.
Of what I've been saying for years.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, it's proof of what he's been saying for years.
Oh my god. No, it's true. One of those kids is going to be on Paradise, or one of them will probably be bachelor or bachelorette.
Yeah. And then they'll cut back, and Lord Harrison will be looking the same as he always has.
Lord Harrison will be younger eventually.
Oh yeah, totally. That's it's going to go.
He'll
it's
going
to go backwards.
Once it gets to that point where kind of anti-aging technology and medicines can actually start to reverse it, Lord Harrison is going to be first in line because he has $100 million
yes.
and will be able to afford it.
And also, you know what? If they went around and they were like, okay, we're taking a poll, all of Americans, who do you think deserves it the most and needs it? And I would be like, Lord Harrison, he should be first in line.
I would give it to Neil Lane.
Oh, right. I forgot about Neil Lane.
I would build a rivalry between them. And I would hope that Neil Lane would try to usurp Lord Harrison's dark throne.
I hope that you think it's going to be a rivalry, but it ends up being like a cute buddy comedy, like The Odd Couple.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
Neil Lane's always carrying like a briefcase of diamond rings. Chris Harrison's just like, I just want to help people find love and then eat their fucking soul.
Oh, great. On ABC.
Two demons are sent from hell. One just needs to drink souls, and the other one has a briefcase full of diamond rings.
Oh, my God. It's what we need. It's what America needs right now. It's a reflection of who we are.
I mean, yeah.
It's this a show, mirror. I think, is hold a mirror up to society. Yeah.
And what is our society if not a giant gender reveal party?
Oh, my God. This was everything I hated in the whole world put together. It was amazing. Gender reveals are the celebration of all that is The Bachelor. And it is every... gender reveals are celebrating. Yes, they are two very strict genders. And we celebrate them. And they come together on our show. And this, it's perfect.
And they are defined pre-birth.
Pre-birth. Oh, totally pre-birth.
But even beyond that, the darker levels of this... Mm-hmm. When that cake fucking comes out, who jumps out of it? Wells.
Yeah.
Mr. Sarah Hyland.
In a onesie.
Hyland,
oh, yeah.
Star of ABC's Modern Family. And
ABC,
here is...
Yeah, you brought the ABC. It's so true.
It's just a vortex that sucks in everything. And they had to call Wells and tell him, hey, we have this job for you. Put on a fucking onesie and jump out of the cake. Do it. And he was like, yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Because he has no fucking choice in the matter.
No. He's going to tell you what your baby's gender is. Oh, my God. And, like, the showing that the dad was so happy. Like, no, it just annoyed me that it was just, like, the camera kind of was slightly more on the dad being, like, so excited. Because, like, dads are excited when there's boys. Because only, you know, girls suck and guys want their sons. And it was just the most genderly horrific.
You don't think they would have celebrated if it was a girl?
No, they would have, but they zoomed in a little, like they went to the dad. I guess I always look at the dads a lot. I guess during, this is revealing my thing, that during gender reveals, I always look at the dads and like I see like, okay, like I don't know, men are just like so fragile and it's like if it's not a boy, like are they, how upset are they going to be? And also like how good are they expressing their emotions? This is a whole different thing. This is a whole different thesis. But anyway, we should move on to what's really important.
Then we get JPJ and Tayshia. We get a little recap of their relationship. Mm-hmm. She comes out and says it was a mistake and that she flew to see him. They agree to be boyfriend and girlfriend, right. Showing that this is what you can do.
Look.
You don't have to get engaged. You don't have to rush yourself
but
into
not everyone
these emotional
can do
levels.
It, you know? But honestly, good move for her. I mean, do you think that gave her more screen time / a better placement in the game by doing that as opposed to just getting engaged to him? I guess it created a little more drama. No.
I don't. Because the engagement is seen as kind of the final prize of paradise.
Right.
Well, I mean, the true final prize now is children.
Yes.
Siring more souls for Lord Harrison's dark kingdom.
Absolutely. He needs
I don't think it does, because that engagement moment is a big one. And then you also potentially have your wedding, your gender reveal, whatever other kind of celebration and the ritual of relationships that The Bachelor has established, you'll be able to do it on national television. Mm. Then Katie comes out and has a breakdown.
Yeah.
It's hard to date Chris, apparently. Should have dumped him, but she keeps seeing these glimpses, these moments of the man that he can be. It was hard to watch, obviously. She was experiencing
really
real emotions.
She was totally experiencing real emotions. And that's why it's my era of the game.
Oh, holy shit.
Oh,
that's
damn.
Dark. All right.
I know. It's pretty bad. But look, guys. Because, in last week's episode, we were talking about how amazing it was that she, like, did that. I think it was your play of the game. Was it your week of hers?
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, I listen to the podcast. No big deal. it showed that I was like, it was masterful. Like, she spun that around. And then she let her true emotion show. And she let it get the best of her. And even as this was happening, I was like, oh, this is like, he is like, if I was him, I'd be really mad. Like, I agree that he sucks. And like, it sucks that she has to experience these bad emotions and feel alone. But then to do it, it made me be like, oh, I feel so bad for her. But it made me also be like, oh, like she shouldn't be doing this.
I thought it wasn't a bad move, because she was building a good victim persona. And anytime you can do that in the Bachelor game, it's good.
She was building a good victim. Yeah, I guess that's true.
She was explaining how she puts in all the effort. She's not getting it in return. It means that she's implicitly praising the process. She still believes it can work.
I
want to remain with this guy, but ...
Oh my God, no, you're so... Okay, see, the guys, this is why... Okay, this is why I'm going to change my mind. Because, so she...
You don't have to change
your
mind.
No, here's the thing.
This is a discussion.
I know. But now, but that was such a good point. Okay, so... Okay, so that maybe I'm learning. So that... Okay, so basically... Okay, because I'm watching this and I'm like, okay, like, she should just break up with him. And it's like, there's no way she actually like loves him that much. But you're right, for the game, like she has to hold on because like the process can't be wrong. You can't be wrong. So she has to stay with, like she has to hold on and try everything she can, even if it kills her, even if it's goes against everything she's feeling, because she has a slight little like, maybe it could work. And also like, this would be really good for my stats and whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's a way to stay in the game. If she's attached to him, she's still in the game. If she's not, she's back out in that pool.
So it's like crying because she's like, also, because it's like, I was like, I'm looking at this like beautiful woman, like, you know, and I'm like, why are you putting yourself, now this happens all the time, but like, why are you putting yourself through this for this like?
Instagram.
It's for Instagram. And it's like, so those tears are half like, maybe she's really in love, and half like, I'm just trying to stay in this goddamn game.
Yes.
And these are what my, like, I'm just trying so hard and he's not giving me any, he's making it so hard for me to stay in the game. Oh my God, this is crazy.
I don't think it's overt with a lot of these people. Right. I don't think she's calculating like, I'm going to cry, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to stay in the game.
Right.
I think it's there though. And she knows kind of like on a deep subconscious level that the more kind of drama she can build with this guy, the longer she can be attached in that relationship, mm-hmm. there will be coverage of it. Mm-hmm. They'll write about it in Us Weekly. I saw a bunch of articles today going around the internet that was about specifically her breakdown and all this shit. You just get more coverage for pretty much anything you can do to stay in the game.
Yeah.
So I thought it wasn't a bad move necessarily. It was kind of the only one she could play, honestly, because she did... That moment could have gone the other direction. She could have been like, it's fine. As he said in their fake behind the scenes thing.
Oh my God.
You really blindsided me with that. These are conversations we've had before. If all that's to be believed is true, which it shouldn't be, but let's just say it is. And the document we've seen, we have to accept it as true. She could have just gone out on that stage and said, everything's fine. And in fact, it seemed like that's what he was expecting. So she did blindside him a little bit, but it turned it into a much larger moment that they paid special attention to. I don't know if it got her a bump or not, but you know, it was a good try. But even before the behind-the-scenes thing, we have this creepy fucking moment where Lord Harrison says, I notice your Neil Lane sparkler isn't on. And she's like, yeah, well, I thought I had to take it off, blah, blah, blah. She makes up some weird thing, which seems to be a lie, even in the moment. And then later, when they supposedly reconcile, Lord Harrison pulls the fucking ring out of some wherever.
Yeah, what?
He's the keeper of the fucking ring. So it's like, I noticed you're not wearing your Neil Lane sparkler. It's like, yeah, motherfucker, you know you have it in the drawer in the fucking table next to you. This is all scripted.
I can't help but notice it's all that scripted. I have your ring.
It's unfucking believable to me.
And I mean, but also I thought that was brilliant. I mean, also brilliant to have, like, not so brilliant, but I was like, oh, I thought that was a good move for them to like be like, so that we had the progression of, wait, because you had to... If she stole the ring on, the reconciliation wouldn't be as momentous. But if reconciliation is a actual symbolic, putting the ring back on.
Ritualistic symbol.
Really makes the moment a little bit, there's an arc. There's a little bit more of an arc or a more obvious arc as opposed to she just had the ring on the whole
time. And you get the shot of the ring. That glowing fucking diamond presented by Neil Lane is the symbol of success on this show. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of the final trophies, of which there are two. The ring... which is you've been selected by a bachelor or bachelorette, or in this case, you've completed a successful coupling on Bachelor in Paradise, or the crown, which is to become the bachelor or bachelorette.
Yeah.
Those are the two most clear prizes in our game.
Yep.
And here they got to have it back again. But then they broke up almost immediately after, so it seemed.
Yeah.
Then we had Hannah and Dylan on the hot seat. They give a recap. She's moving to, in quotes, California.
California, just somewhere in California.
We're,
you know, Sacramento.
We're thinking of moving to Lodi.
Yeah.
You ever been to Stockton? We're just going to get a little one bedroom in Stockton. No, she's moving to Los Angeles.
Of course she's moving to Los Angeles. That's where all the influencers live. That's where they thrive. This is their place. What do you mean? As if that's like a relationship step. She's going to go there anyway. Where else is she going to go?
Of course.
Where else are they at? What are you talking about for him?
I'll just say this. The season is over. I have some players of the season. My MVP, 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 MVP of the season was twofold. It's a double award I'm giving. One was Dylan, and I'll get to the other one in a second. But Dylan was one of my co-MVPs. Because he came in with a clear, concise game plan. I'm going for that person, and I'm going to do anything I can to make it work. He never wavered. He said everything that he needed to say at every turn. Even when she was fucking making out with other guys. Two other guys right in front of him.
Yeah.
He fucking hung in there, and he stuck to his game plan.
Right.
And it fucking worked. He's got a girlfriend that has over 1 million fucking followers, who is one of the most famous people in contemporary Bachelor play. It's going to vault him into the fucking stratosphere.
Totally.
Now, all that said, the season is over. I'm not real sure that's going to last, because I think once she gets a taste of L.A.
Oh, yeah. Once she walks down Melrose and...
Yeah, exactly. Dylan and his lifts aren't going to quite be enough
for
her.
No.
But hats off to you, Dylan.
No,
a fantastically
job.
Strong season.
Totally.
What you did was very fucking hard to pull off.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can think of another player who did something like that.
Yeah, it was a good. It could have gone horribly.
Then we had Demi and Christian in the hot seat, still together.
Still together.
Demi
still perfect.
Raking in 1.2 million followers.
Sorry.
Christian at a 92,400.
Surprising, it's not more, but yeah. But she's not as active on Instagram.
Not only is she not as active, she was not in the actual Bachelor. I think within Bachelor
That's
Nation,
true.
She's
That's
kind
true.
Of perceived as an outsider mm-hmm. at this moment. But Demi was my other MVP of the season.
Oh, yay.
Played the game perfectly. Came in with confusion. Got clarity. This same thing can
narrative.
Be achieved with walls, letting them down, mm-hmm. With vulnerability, opening up. This kind of like step of evolution is very necessary as having a character arc within the game.
Yeah.
She played that expertly. And of course, made Bachelor fucking history.
Yep.
By being the first, not only the first same-sex couple, she was the first woman to give a rose to a woman.
Yeah. That was dope.
She was the first woman to propose to a woman.
Yep.
And obviously the first representation of a non-straight relationship
yeah.
in Bachelor history.
And you know, they treated it pretty much like it was all the other heteros. So
even a little better, I think. They celebrated it a little bit more in the show, which I think was great.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that that is actually in this fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll ever see it again.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Certainly not between two men.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
What I'm waiting for is for polyamory to get in here. And this is an experimental strategy for anyone who's out there listening.
Yeah.
Any players that may be on this next season of The Bachelor.
Yeah, take it.
And you get down to the last two contestants, the last two players. It's you and one other woman.
Mm-hmm.
You go to her and you say, hey, let's make Bachelor history. Let's get the biggest fucking Instagram bump you've ever seen in your goddamn life. And let's propose to him together. A triad.
Oh, my God.
If you could pull that off.
I think that's like 10 years down the road.
It could be next year. All it requires is two players to agree to do it.
Okay.
That's all it requires. The door is open. Straight, one-man, one-woman relationships do not have to happen on this game anymore. You can do any combination. Demi laid the groundwork.
That's true. But there was also laid the groundwork, but also there was a hole in the past 10 years. There's been a cultural, gay-friendlier bump in the culture, and that's probably we have a while to go for polyamory. You know what I mean? Like it coincided. Like the Demi thing couldn't happen if this was 2005.
I agree.
But in the polyamory thing, like I don't think a polyamory thing can happen in 2020. I think maybe in 2031.
But I'm saying it's not even up to the game. If it gets down to the last three people in the game, whatever happens must be shot and must be.
All right, I'll do it. You've convinced me. I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna
Fantastic.
Go on.
Thank
and
you.
I'm gonna do it. And I'm gonna get the girl. We're gonna propose to the guy. And I'm going to have 5.3 million Instagram followers, and I will finally be happy.
And the way to actually do it is to have both of them in the room at the same time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And propose
We've talked about
it
this.
To the woman and the man simultaneously.
Can you be in my ear? Can I have like a thing? Like a where you
no.
think they detect that?
Not only do they detect it, they prohibit you from bringing in anything,
oh,
including
right.
books or magazines, except for what? What book do you think you can bring in?
The Bible?
That's the one. That's all you're allowed to bring in for media if you're on this show. They completely isolate you from any outside contact. You don't know what's happening in the world. You don't get news.
That is
best
crazy.
Environment to find love.
Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking.
So after Demi and Christian's celebration and proposal, we then have a very strange moment.
Mm-hmm.
We cut back to the live audience and we're asked to see the diamond rings. And the diamond rings come out and they are on the screen. And we hear a very clearly re-recorded audio of Chris Harrison saying, oh, those Neil Lane rings sure look good, guys,
don't they? It was
so
ADR. It was the most ADR sounding thing I've ever heard in my life.
And now this is back-to-back episodes where they just write a line for Chris Harrison that they play over non-matching footage.
Yeah.
To do whatever the fuck they want.
To get in more. Wow. That was crazy.
Absolutely repulsive. And then, of course, when we think it can't get worse, the final moment of this episode is they introduce us to the next Bachelor.
And, guys, I just got to say, it's so exciting to finally have a Black Bachelor. It is so exciting. What? I'm so sorry.
No, he's the whitest Bachelor.
I'm so sorry. Bachelor Clues has just informed me that it's another white person. Shocker. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. You could knock me over with a feather. That is crazy. What was the day's count? What's the day count?
I don't remember what it was. We're at like 6,000. Lizzie takes care of the dwab. The Black Bachelor. But suffice it to say, we're getting at least 365 more now. When Peter came out, he did a couple of things that now it's very important to do once you're a player that has ascended to the crown. You have to praise the process. You have to say that you are grateful for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, grateful.
You essentially have to kneel before Lord Harrison, thank him for the gifts he is about to give you, which Peter does through and through. So we know at this point he's complicit. He's going to be a good player and do whatever they say. So should be a pretty boring season.
Yeah. And he, like you said before, he's grew up in the shadows of the mansion. So yeah, it's in his blood, baby.
Not only is it in his blood, I think there's an interesting thing with that, which is this notion that is very rarely talked about on the show. You only get it in small glimpses. I watched the show since I was 10, which is the idea of dating like this is pervasive among the audience of the show.
Oh my God.
And so he sees that and he's like, that's what I want. 30 women that I get to fuck and date simultaneously. I want to be the Bachelor. You're not crawling into the fucking Bachelor mansion when you're in high school because you're like, oh, I just want to see what's inside.
Right.
You have something in your head already that's like, that is the fucking pinnacle. I want in there. It's like a fucking, if you want to be a pro baseball player, trying to sneak into like the pro baseball stadium at night, you know, because it's like you see it as hallowed ground. Mm-hmm. And now here he is, the Bachelor. He did it.
He did it.
His dreams are coming true.
The American dream right there. I mean, oh boy, that is so upsetting. Wow. And also you saying that made me realize like, oh yeah, the show has been going on long enough that like kids watching the show then become the Bachelor. Like,
we're in the 24th season of The Bachelor. You could have been born
when it started.
In season one and be on it now.
What is it doing to us? Hey, what is it doing to us?
It's doing a lot of things. It's normalizing racism for sure.
Totally. Oh yeah, 100%.
Certainly all the kind of like traditional gender stereotypes, the ideas of hetero,
just like,
romance,
yeah,
all
just
of that.
Weird. Just like, I just don't, it's like the conversations about the relationship. Just every conversation they have is about the relationship. What is the relationship? What's the, and like you were putting it earlier of like, there's the stages. Like you have to say, I think I could like you. Then I do like you. I think I could see myself falling in love with you. I am falling in love with you. I'm in love with you. Like there's this progression that happens in, you know, even me watching it, I'm just like, is that what, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, whoa, like that.
Yeah, it's a game. It's like baseball, going from first base to second to third.
Yeah.
To home.
And it's like normalizing that it's supposed to be like that. You're only supposed to talk about your relationships consist of talking about your relationship. And like, it's just weird. It's so weird.
It's like a game of progression, basically. Mm-hmm. You're set in whatever scenario you're put in on the Bachelor or Bachelorette. Obviously you have 30 other players that you're competing against in a kind of Hunger Games-esque
Hunger
battle
Games,
royale.
Totally.
But on Bachelor in Paradise, the game of progression is, can you partner up with somebody and make it to the final episode, whatever that may be. Ultimately, the diamond ring being the end of it. But it's not doing anything good to the culture. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see. You know, we're only 24 seasons in.
Maybe it'll get better.
Maybe it'll get really better. Maybe it'll end up solving climate change.
It won't. My goal, my hope, I should say, for this show, if I can have any hand in it, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Is to have someone win the ring at the end. A player, he proposes to her, and she turns into the camera and says, this was all an elaborate piece of performance art. I played the game to get to this point. I don't give a fuck about you.
Oh my God.
I'm the best player that ever lived. And walks off the dais.
Right, any takers?
Yeah, if there are any takers.
Audience?
direct message, Game of Roses,
yeah,
Instagram account. Like, Lizzie runs it. I don't know. Lizzie will be your handler. Anyway, thank you guys very much for joining us this season. It's been very fun. We're still kind of figuring out what this podcast is and everything, and we hope you'll continue listening. Even though the Bachelor in Paradise season has concluded, we will still be doing an episode every week where we're talking about different aspects of the game, the fundamentals, general strategies, for everything from night one to what you should do on Fantasy Suites to ensure that you will become the next Bachelorette. And a little strange kind of shit in between. We're going to be inducting some people into the Hall of Fame. We're going to be talking about the Bachelor babies all in the weeks to come. So thank you again very much. And thank you, Catherine, for being our esteemed guest
tonight.
Thank
you, guys. Please, you listening, I thank you so much for inviting me into your world. I love this podcast so much. I think it's brilliant.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah. I don't know. Follow me on Insta at Waking Up Worried if you don't hate me by the end of this. Yeah, I don't know. Go Wildcats.
Which Wildcats?
I don't know any Wildcats. There's so many.
Indeed. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Praise Lord Harrison.
Praise Lord Harrison.